Just going back over the course of this past week, there wasn't a great deal of data from the US, but there were two data points that just worrying people that maybe the Fed has a little more work to do before it's finished tightening monetary policy. Those two data points were the ISM non-manufacturing PMI, in other words, the services sector PMI for August. And this one had a reasonable-sized bounce. It went up to its highest level in 6 months. It jumped from 52.7. Going back the month before, it was expected to only be in the 52s for the month of August, but it jumped to 54.5. So that suggests that, you know, the services sector of the U.S. economy is getting some life in it, and it was pretty strong in some of its components too, in like new orders components lifted quite strongly, and prices component was lifting as well, which obviously is not what the Fed wants to see because it's service prices, which are the stickiest part of the CPI. The other figure that came out that also got people wondering is for 5 weeks in a row now, we've had initial jobless claims coming down. Go back, you know, a month or two back, yeah, we were running around about the 260,000 a week mark. We're down to, well, at least going back last week, we're down to 229,000. The most recent week, yeah, they were thinking, well, that's too low. You know, maybe it's going to bounce a bit to, and when I say bounce, get worse, to 235,000. It didn't. It came down to 216,000. So, you know, that's suggesting that the tightness in the labour market is still there. So it's just those sorts of issues which are just making it hard to find exactly where, you know, the peak might be for US interest rates, and that's obviously, you know, having some impact running back to US markets. And so this week, you know, everybody's watching out for the CPI. You know, that's the key figure this week. It comes out on Wednesday night. It's the month of August. And there's some reasons why it's going to lift anyway, because we've had a bit of a lift in energy prices over the course of the past month or so. And so rather than the headline CPI, rather than hovering around 0.2 month on month where it's been the previous 2 months, it's expected to jump to around about 0.6. Now, if it does that, the annual CPI inflation rate will lift for a second month in a row. The low point for the CPI, the annual CPI reading in the US was 3% going back to June. In July, that lifted to 3.2%, and if we get a 0.6, that'll lift us to 3.6. Now, yeah, the core CPI is going to be not so bad. So the core CPI, there's an expectation that'll come in at 0.2. It was 0.2 the month before. That would reduce the core CPI down to 4.3 from 4.7. But, you know, that figure is obviously going to be watched pretty carefully. We'll also be watching the initial jobless claims on Thursday to see if they come down any further. The market's anticipating that 216,000 is really too low for the initial jobless claims, so we're expecting a bit of a bounce or lift to 226,000. But if we stay down around the 216,000, that will still spell tightness in the labour market. And then just to corroborate the CPI, whatever that shows, we've got producer prices coming out of the US on Thursday. And those ones, the headline producer price index looks as if it will probably lift about 0.4%. That would lift the annual rate of change in producer prices to 1.2% from 0.8. The core PPI is expected to be around about 0.2, so rather like the core CPI, and that would bring the annual rate back to 2.2 from 2.4. So, you know, those are the key numbers, really, that the US will be watching. There are some other data points later in the week, too. We've got August retail sales coming out on Thursday. Retail sales were strong going back to July, and another one of those indications that the US is having a pretty good third quarter. Going back to July, retail sales lifted by 0.7%, and core retail sales are up by 1%. The market's looking for some consolidation of that rather than another very strong number. So looking at about 0.2% month on month for those readings. We get things like industrial production and some consumer sentiment data just coming out right at the end of the week. But really it's those inflation readings which are going to be important. Moving to China, and we've had some you know, again, some pretty soft readings coming out there. We had the August cakes in the services sector, Percy Index came out. Unlike the US, which went to greater strength, in China that actually came down from 54.1 down to 51.8, which is weaker than expected. We also had August export and import data showing that, you know, there's no real relief for China from international trade to help it get through this you know, this weak lift in economic activity that's occurring at present. So August exports, the annual change on that was 8.8%. Yes, that's minus 8.8%. Yes, that's better than minus 14.5%, but it's still down. And it's a similar story with imports, which are minus 7.3%. That was after a minus 12.4% year-on-year going back the month before. This week, early on, we'll get the CPI and producer prices. The CPI, the annual change is expected to only be a little bit above zero. So the China's still skirting very, very close to deflation. And then on Friday this week, we'll get all the monthly reads, which going back a month ago were really poor. So back in July, yeah, we had fixed capital, fixed asset investment spending, which was up only 3.4% year-on-year. If anything, that looks as if it's going to get a little bit worse at 3.3%. August industrial production was only 3.7% year-on-year. Market's hoping that'll lift a little bit to 4%. And you know, the worst of all of them is retail sales, which is up only 2.5% year-on-year. You know, market's hoping that in August that might have lifted a little bit to 2.8%. I think the way that people are looking at China is saying, you know, at some point, you know, we're going to get some sort of policy response out of the Chinese authorities. So far, it's been pretty lackluster response. So, you know, there's always some speculation from time to time that you're going to get a stronger response. But the truth of it is, you know, what can the Chinese authorities really do? The bit that needs to move to get China to grow reasonably well, not just this year but longer term, is they have to get their own consumer spending going. And at this point, Chinese consumers see no reason to really lift their spending much. So you know, to the extent that the Chinese authorities can tweak things by trying to poke fixed asset investment spending, by trying to promote some further spending on housing or whatever, well, the truth of it is housing's in oversupply in China. It's one of the problems they've got with the developers. So it's not going to help that much. So this is where it's becoming quite problematic to get China's economy to grow much faster at this point. Moving towards Australia. And yeah, last week, obviously, we had the RBA meeting, and they've left the cash rate unchanged at 4.1% again. You know, they've got some evidence of you know, some easing in labour market conditions. They're still worried that inflation is going to be sticky over time, but you know, we've got growth in demand slowing too, and they got evidence of that when the GDP report came out. Whilst real GDP was a touch firmer than expected, it was up 0.4% quarter on quarter, and the previous quarter was revised upwards from 0.2 to 0.4. Yeah, the annual growth rate slowed, but you know, it's still up 2.1% year on year after being up 2.4% the year before. It's when you start to cut inside the GDP report that you can see the weakness that's there. And so, for example, you know, in Q2, yes, real GDP was up 0.4%. Nominal GDP, the prices in current prices, was down 1.2% quarter on quarter. You know, that's the world that generates profits for companies. So, you know, that's obviously pretty weak. Another weak point is that GDP per head has now been down, and it was down 0.3% quarter on quarter, two quarters in a row. So what's driving real GDP growth is entirely population growth. We had another horrible productivity reading. GDP per hour worked was down another 2% in real terms, quarter on quarter. It's now down 3.6% year on year. That obviously is not helpful as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned, because their point about wages has been, yeah, we can tolerate wage growth as it sort of marches towards 4%, providing we get some lift in the abysmal productivity change that we've seen. Well, the abysmal productivity change actually went to worse than abysmal over the last quarter, so it's not going in the right direction. And yeah, that implies that inflation is going to be sticky. So even though, you know, soft data can leave the RBA keeping the cash rate on hold here, it's giving them no capacity to bring that cash rate down as the economy continues to slow. Other factors inside the GDP, we had only a 0.1% lift in household consumption expenditure. Yeah, that's obviously very soft. It's only up 1.5% year on year, and that 1.5% year on year is obviously going to decelerate a lot if we get 0.1s or worse. And the cost of living crisis suggests it'll probably be worse than 0.1s as we go a little bit further down the track. Capital investment spending was a bright spot inside GDP, but it was driven, you know, almost entirely by public sector or government spending. That was up 8.2% quarter on quarter, but that was, if anything, a bunching of public sector projects, and with budget restraints anyway, it's going to come back at some point. And the other growth spot inside GDP was real exports. Real exports contributed a full 1 percentage point to the 0.4% GDP growth rate. But the problem was it was all in volumes. There was no prices. The prices actually fell by over 8% through the course of the quarter. So yeah, there's a lot. Also, the household savings ratio is now down to 3.2%. It's been sliding a lot over the course of the last year. So you know, household disposable income after allowing for interest payments is going backwards. And the only way in which the household sector spends at all is by drawing down savings. So it's yeah, that's the story which is running through GDP. It had an okay look about the actual headline number, but everything when you cut inside suggests that things are going to slow further. And in terms of per head, you know, technically we're in a sort of recession now, so you know, that's coming. Now moving to this week, we get some business surveys and also consumer sentiment surveys. We've got the NAB business conditions, business confidence surveys. They're still okay-ish. They were in July. The business conditions, which is how businesses are doing now, was at plus 10, which is actually a reasonably firm report because profits in the past have actually been not too bad. Business confidence was a plus 2, so it wasn't too bad. That probably resulted from, you know, interest rates being on hold over recent months. We've got September Westpac consumer sentiment coming out on Wednesday. That was down 0.4% last month. That was after a couple of rises the month before, but the absolute level of the consumer sentiment index is actually quite low. It's been sort of holding a bit over recent months, whilst the Reserve Bank's being on hold with interest rates. And on Thursday, key number of the week is going to be the labour force report. Last month, yeah, we had a 14,600 fall in employment. This month, the market thinks we've probably had a lift of something like about 25,000. The participation rate probably held at 66.7%. As a result of that, the unemployment rate, which went up 0.2 percentage points to 3.7%, going back to July, is expected to edge down probably to 3.6. That looks a little bit tighter, but it's in the bumping around. Yeah, it would have to be quite significantly stronger than 25,000 to really suggest that, yeah, we've still got quite a bit of residual strength running through the labour market. If by any chance it's another fall, yeah, obviously that plays to the hand that, you know, we've got the beginnings of a weakening labour market, and you know, that's just another one of those factors which reinforces reasons for the Reserve Bank to stay on hold with interest rates going forward. Moving to Europe last week, we had the services sector PMI came out. Yeah, that's really quite soft in Europe. It's at 47.9, down from 50.9 going back the previous month. We also had July retail sales. That wasn't too good either. That was down 1% after being down 1% the month before. So yeah, we've got some weakness running through there. We had a revision to Q2 GDP and was revised down to only a 0.1% growth rate from 0.3% quarter on quarter. So Europe is really skating close to a recession now. It's and you know, it's likely to fall in there at some point. And this leads into the ECB meeting going through on Thursday this week. And yeah, they've been lifting interest rates over recent meetings, but now they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They've got very sticky inflation by international comparison. And when I say that, you know, if you're looking at a problem facing the Fed, the Fed's essential problem in the US is that you know, you've still got relatively high wage growth. It has been coming back a bit over the last few months, but you've got wage growth which is running, you know, sort of well and truly in the mid-fours still. In the case of Europe, you know, settlements in Germany, for example, are running well above 5. In the UK, they're running above 7. So you're looking at a lot more pressure on inflation running through Europe from wage settlements than you are in somewhere like the US. And of course, for us, you know, we were at 3.6% going back to our last employment cost index, although we will be accelerating from that, you know, over the remainder of this year. So, you know, the ECB has got clear evidence of sticky inflation still ahead, but the economy is just about to tank. And so the expectation is they may hold at this meeting. They have been talking tough, but you know, the market's thinking that their deposit rate, which is set at 3.75%, will hold at 3.75%. Their lending rate, which is a bit above 4, will stay at a bit above 4. So that's, you know, roughly the way that people are looking for the ECB. But through this week, I think the focus is going to be more towards the US and particularly towards their inflation readings. And that will give some indication of whether the Fed has still got a bit more work ahead of it to lift rates. Until we get to that, obviously things are going to be a little bit soft running through markets until we get that evidence.